I kissed my penny and I threw it in. I prayed I'd keep my soul. Went down to the river where the water bends.
Welcome to Unsigned Hype episode 20. On this episode, I have the pleasure to talk to the incredible artist Kennedy Ryan from Atlanta. Prior to her interview, I asked Kennedy which song she would play for someone that wasn't familiar with her music yet. Kennedy chose her cover of Yeba's song Evergreen, and if you're not familiar with Kennedy Ryan's music yet, here's a snippet of that song before we jump into the interview. This is Unsigned Hype. The song you just heard is called Evergreen by Yeba Smith, covered by Kennedy Ryan, actually. It's a pleasure to welcome you to the show today. Kennedy, why is Evergreen the song you would play for someone that has never heard your music before?
I'd probably say Evergreen because it is the song, or I should say cover, that has catapulted me into this success that I've been able to cultivate thus far. I also think it's a song that showcases like half my vocal range, but also I think it just has a different feeling than the records, all the other records that I have out.
There's so many questions I have because obviously researching your story a little bit, that's what I came across a lot, you know, both the fact that what you just mentioned, that this kind of catapulted your career into new heights, let's say. Maybe as the first question, what was it concretely, like looking back, that you felt like catapulted you to a new level? Like, how did you feel that next level of your career as an artist?
That's a good question. I really feel like maybe just, I guess, the authenticity behind it and always just showcasing like that I always have had and still kind of have my moments where I have not necessarily doubt, but I guess like a scarcity mindset behind it all, because it is like a very vulnerable process. Even just that alone, the process just looks more vulnerable and people are witnessing it. Those that I call super fans are witnessing the journey, like from the beginning. Like I started out just with 4 posts on Instagram, like in my scrubs at work in a bathroom singing. And now you're seeing it like me posting about other artists that are witnessing and I guess admiring my artistry. But really Evergreen was what just catapulted me into where I am now, because it was just a cover that was completely different. And a lot of my other covers, like my range would kind of just stay here and go there. And then Evergreen was like, okay, like, this girl is a big deal, humbly speaking, but I think that's also what threw people for a loop pretty much.
And obviously, I mean, this gets felt in the sense of numbers. I think you pretty quickly hit like 1 million views on that video. What other areas in your career did you feel like that cover impacted?
I feel like a lot of it really, what I'm realizing then and now, just comes down to like the feeling, the vibration that was put into that cover, like the emotion that was put into that cover. Whenever I make music, whenever I'm creating, it really is to like put myself in a space of like personal healing for myself first, and just getting like my emotions and my feelings out on pen and paper to like kind of continue like the healing process, just the ebb and flows of what that looks like. And I feel like as I continue to be authentic and vulnerable and personal and personable in my music and in my songs, that like energy that I'm using to create it is like staying in that song, and the vibration is like staying in that song in some way, somehow. It's crazy. I still don't understand it yet. I really don't. It's actually wild. That like vibration, that wavelength that I'm on when I'm creating it is like touching people on the exact same wavelength. Like Evergreen was just like, I really needed this. Like this is like giving me a healing, like you don't understand. And then like putting out original music, people are saying the same thing. So I'm realizing it's really just coming down to like, at the end of the day, the wavelength above all of what's being created on, and just the vulnerability behind it.
It's something that I was thinking about, and I'm really curious to hear your thoughts on this. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you were mentioning that you had done covers in the past, and I think especially for emerging artists, you know, covering other more mainstream famous artists, it's like a thing. You find people covering their favorite songs all the time. What is it about covers that emerging artists find in doing them versus recording, you know, new original music and putting that out or performing that on camera?
I think the difference is doing a cover requires being less, you're being vulnerable because of course you're showcasing something. You're showcasing your talent, like a range. You're putting yourself out there at the end of the day. But I feel like, especially depending on the song and the circumstance of the song, there's a level of vulnerability that's being given, that's being put out. Like if I'm doing an Amy Winehouse cover, the emotion and everything is still there. The vulnerability and everything is still there because I'm not just going, I'm going to sing this song because I know I can sing it. I'm singing it because it makes me feel a certain type of way. And then once I get that feeling, the audience is going to get that versus if I put out a song like my first single, Sunny Days, which is speaking about the abusive relationship that I was in, that's like a different type of vulnerability and like putting myself out there. So I feel like that's like the major difference. There's a different, there's just like a different emotion, like a different happiness. There's more intentionality behind putting out your own record versus choosing a cover. It's like most people are like, oh, I'm just going to sing this because this, I know I sound good on this versus I'm going to put this record out and I'm going to tell people about like this story. I think that's what it comes down to.
But you were just mentioning, you use the word vulnerability quite a lot. What do you think as an artist, why do you think it's so important, especially you with having such a massive community of people that follow you now? I think you're at 150K or 180K or something followers on Instagram.
I wish 180K, like 155, but I don't even the numbers is like, it's beautiful, but I'm like, the music means more.
No, I get it. But at the same time, you know, you mentioning being vulnerable in front of such a massive audience is that's quite a step. Why do you think that's something that you that's a necessity of you to do, to share this vulnerability with so many people?
I feel like as an artist, when you get to a certain level and as you continue to climb in like your artistry, like of course my vulnerability at 400 followers looks, I don't know, if not the same, completely different than it would at 155,000 followers that I am now.
Can you explain that?
I feel like at 400, it's like you have people that are coming in and they're witnessing like the baby steps of it all. It's like, oh, this is Kennedy. Like she's singing. This is great. Like, wow, this is really beautiful. And then when you have that same person that's been following you from 400 to 155, it looks different now because that person has seen me from 400 followers. They've seen me when I'm like doing covers on camera and I don't even want to look at the camera. I'm giggling like as I'm doing the cover because I feel like nervous. I feel like scared. I feel shy. I feel bashful versus now if you're seeing the growth behind, okay, who follows me as in people who've been in the industry a very, very long time. You're seeing like DMs from artists that have been in the industry a very, very long time are like showing me their admiration, like for my art, for my talent. So really at the end of the day, you're showing that person, you're showing everybody from that low follower count to like this one, that it's doable and that it can happen and that you can do it too. Especially with my music, I'm able to write music for myself first and then put it out. And I'm able to give people something. Like they could share the same experience as me through the things that I talk about in my music, but they don't know how to cultivate that, like how to put that into words, to be able to fully understand it, to be able to fully, this is going to sound terrible, but I don't know another way to put it right now, get over like what they're going through, to be able to like basically just process it to heal with what they're going through. Or they may not have friends or family that are able to have like deep conversations and open conversations about like how to get through that. They don't know what questions to ask. They may not have access to therapy. So my music to them could be like a therapy session. And I think that's what makes it what it is. I'm just showing people like from ground up that it's possible. There are some people that could have the exact same talent as me, or could be just as talented as me, but they don't have the community or the resources or the belief system, one in self or in community, to be able to like just give them that push. So I'm just showing them like you can do it too.
And I mean, you know, to maybe get into the early beginnings of your story a little bit, you know, recording your first song on a Nokia cell phone and, you know, take me back to those days. What was it about music back then that made you want to get into it?
Really, for me, music started out as an escape, like just a complete escape from just family life and just family drama and things. And I realized like, okay, if I cannot control my environment, if I cannot control what is being like spoken to me, if I cannot control just anything really, if I can't control the negativity being given to me, how can I, even at a young age, had to realize like, how can I turn that around? Like, what can I control? If someone else is giving me their unhappy and their miserableness, how can I be like, how can I like keep it to myself pretty much? So I'm like, okay, I have to figure out, even though everything around me is like just spilling out negativity and is like really unhappy, how can I find my own happiness outside of this? So I really just began to like watch the VMAs or like other artists. Like starting out, I was like obsessed with Destiny's Child. Not many people know, because I don't talk about it enough. Before music, I started out with dance. I like took dance, I think, in fourth and fifth grade. And then when I had to move and I didn't have the same teacher that pushed me, I was like, all right, well, now I got to figure out like what's my next escape pretty much, which then turned into singing. And then I realized like, okay, I can hold a little tune. Like I kind of got something here. And then I kind of like stuck with that.
Quick question about that. Is that really you realizing yourself that you're good at it? Or do you base that on a lot of feedback that other people were giving you? Like, hey, you have a great voice. Or like, mm-hmm. Are you self-aware and also self-confident that you have a great voice back then already?
It came from me first, only because I was so much just like in my own little world when it came to music that I'm like, doing, even back then at like a young age, doing covers or like turning on 106 in Park or getting on YouTube and like watching other people. And I'm like, oh, I hit that. And then after that, it became a thing of like, okay, I'm singing in the bathroom or I'm singing around the house. And then my oldest sister being like, girl, you have something. And then when I realized like she thought I had something, because my oldest sister, she originally too is what like, I wouldn't say got me into music, but it's how I discovered music, because I saw her doing it. And then once I had her be like, Kennedy, you can really sing. And then my dad catching on, Kennedy, you can really sing. And then I really do not know how it came about, how I got into piano. Maybe I like played it at a store or something, or my dad just brought one home one day. I literally don't remember how that came about, but he had just got me, I think, a piano from like Goodwill or something, and it plugged in to the wall. And I just played that every single day. You could not tell me shit. Homework? I don't care about none of that. Like I would go to school, come straight home, either get on my piano or like turn YouTube on. And I would literally just watch other people like play piano or like turn on like a Lady Gaga music video. And I would just play it like by ear on piano. I'd be like, okay, this is how I do this. And I remember one day I came home from school. I was probably in like sixth or seventh grade. Came home from school, turned YouTube on. I don't know what song I turned on. And I started playing it. And then all of a sudden the chord in the back of the piano just started like firing. And then I just saw like smoke and I was like, oh shoot. Like that's how much I used to play piano like religiously. But yeah, that's it, really music just started out as an escape. And then when I realized like how good the music felt and that I had control over like, this makes me feel like this, this artist makes me feel like this, oh, this song is like this, then it just becomes, and it became captivating of like, I can create that too. Let me see how I can do that like for self. And it just became something that was like inspiring. Yeah. And again, it was just like a great escape.
And when does this transition happen from I'm trying things out and I this is a hobby for me and I like singing to this, I'm an artist now. Like it's real. I'm going to pursue this. Because I know you've had a break in between.
Yeah.
I think 7 years without making any music and, mm-hmm. From looking at your journey a little bit, everything's been pretty recent with you starting a career, right?
Mm-hmm. I think really July, August-ish of 2021 maybe is when I was like, okay, I'm going to go like all in on this. Like there's no other option for me. Leading up to 2021, I had that like 7 year break where I wasn't doing music. I was in an abusive relationship and it was just like out of sight, out of mind. I'm just going to pursue nursing. Music was like, back then I was like, yeah, that's not happening. Elementary school into middle school into like elementary and middle school, more so middle school is where I was like, oh, I really want to be like this big pop star. I'm going to be like huge. I'm going to be like Beyonce level. Like then I was like really deep into it. And I feel like then it was more so of like a, again, like an escapism kind of thing. If I can envision myself here, like, you know, just being in like a different world. And then in high school, it was like, I did theater, but I was also still like taking on like the role of like being a mom for like my siblings and then had two jobs. So then again, high school was like escapism, again, relationship for that 7 years. And then 2021, I was like, yeah, I definitely can see me doing this for a really, really long time, and I want it.
So it's really been 7 years without any practice, without really anything. You haven't done any music in that time?
Mm-mm,
because then I can imagine like going back to it is pretty, I mean, that must be scary, right? I mean, where do you start? How do you start that?
Terribly scary. Like I want to say 2021 or 2022. Sometimes my memory is terrible. Please forgive me.
You recorded a first demo, I think, in 2021. Love Actually, I think the track was called.
You're doing your research. Okay.
Yeah. Of course. I remember reading that. That's where you recorded a demo. So that's kind of where you started taking things seriously again, I guess, right?
Yeah. That experience was wild. I don't want to jump too deep into it, but
don't worry, that
experience for me, it was great because I think it was God's way of showing me, the universe's way of showing me, like, this is exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Don't stop. But this isn't your golden ticket. This isn't where you're going to be like, this isn't where the rocket goes off. This is just it's just confirmation to show you this is what you're supposed to be doing. But I think I had that like 7 years in between where I wasn't focused on music. I didn't do music. I wasn't thinking about music. Music was like, if I even thought about it, if I thought about singing, wanting to play my piano, I was like completely turned off by it. It was just like, it didn't do anything for me. I didn't get energy from it, like nothing. And then I think 2021 or 2022, I had done in Atlanta what they call like a paint and sit down in like Piedmont Park. They have artists come out and either sing covers or like original songs. And I sang Jasmine Sullivan, Bust Your Windows. And prior to that performance, I hadn't performed in 10 years. Like the last time I had performed in front of people was at like my high school talent shows. So I was like trembling with fear, trembling with nervousness. Like my hands were like this. My voice was like all shaky. I was terrified.
What was that about when you think about it? I mean, I can imagine it's nerve-wracking, obviously, just, you know, stage fright and everything that were like, you know, but what can you put this into words, like what you were afraid of in that moment?
Really, I was afraid of, that's a good question, messing up. I was afraid of not being good enough. I was afraid of, it really came down to being afraid of the thoughts and opinions of others. Like, what is everyone else in this audience going to think of my voice? Am I good enough? Trying to be like a perfectionist.
So if they didn't really like your voice, what would that, this lead to? To you failing as an artist, or to you not really having a career? What did these ever thoughts that you had?
I think about that not now as much, if at all, but back then, definitely like 2021 up until maybe like 2023-ish, I was really more so in the mindset of what is everyone else going to think of my music and my voice? And like, if my voice cracks, if I get a note wrong, if I don't hit the note, basically just trying to be like a perfectionist when it comes to my music. But then at the end of the day, especially now, I've come to realize, and I continue to remind myself, my artistry is for me first, and not everybody is going to like it. And at the end of the day, really all you need is one. And that's really all that matters. Is my music giving people something, like, positively? Is someone learning something from this? Is someone healing from this? But now I don't really necessarily have that mindset, because it's like, my music and my artistry is for me. You either like it or you don't. And if you don't like it, hey, let somebody else know, and maybe they might, type of deal. Like, pass it on, pretty much.
I like to place interludes in this podcast. If we had to use a song right now for people to check out, which one would you choose?
I guess ending off where I just ended off, Chris's song.
Do you remember when that bitch nigga stole from me? His name was Chris. Remind me of the old me.
This is a bit.
Somebody I was supposed to be, but that's not the way that it's supposed to be. I should have listened to my gut and how she spoke to me, but I was only trying to sell my way to groceries. So I thought I'd hit you up because you sold TVs, but your childish ways would put a hold on me. Then you had to go behind my back, take my phone. Oh, you bought. Roll back to your place. What a shame. You're so vain. Every time you lie, you send shivers down my spine. You say you'll behave. It was a mistake. If you press rewind, you still have the same small mind in the same old state. Just
you were mentioning a little bit, like, you know, performing live in front of the crowd and the insecurities that sometimes come with this. And in that year, 2021, you know, you've not only recorded, you know, drafts and demos, but you've also actually, at least on Spotify, you've released your first song, Boomerang,
yes.
Which, yes, I think is the first song that can be found on Spotify. And I was wondering, for you as an artist, if you could expand a little bit what the thought process is behind putting certain songs out versus not putting certain songs out. Because I know that you had, you know, drafts of, you know, for example, Love Actually, that you were sharing with your audience on Instagram to kind of get some feedback of them. And then Boomerang comes out. What does that decision process look like when it comes to releasing new songs on Spotify, for example?
Really, the decision process, sometimes my team doesn't allow me like too much of the decision process. I don't say that in a way of like they have full control of my artistry. I say that in a way of like they make sure that I'm not in my head too much when it comes to releases. Like, I guess releasing a song, I'm learning too from another artist, is like a blessing and a curse, because when it comes to my artistry, I'm like, all right, I need the mix. I need the master. I need this to be like 100% crisp. It needs to sound like butter. It needs to feel like butter. My whole thing is like, it needs to feel like a record. But I think it really just comes down to how vulnerable do I want to be? The next song that we plan on releasing here soon, hopefully before the end of the month, is called Ban. Ban stands for, excuse my language, bum ass nigga.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this song is really, really vulnerable. but also in the sense of like, I'm saying the N word, like religiously, just saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it. So then I'm kind of in a place of like, okay, I don't want to make people uncomfortable with that. Is mm-hmm. that right? Is that wrong? And so there just comes a time of like releases where my team is like, girl, you doing too much. We're just putting it out. Covers wise, when it came to covers, like I chose the covers, and then my manager, Kosh, I'm sure you know, he would just mix them, master them as best as he could, and then just put them out. I feel like that process, it just, again, comes down to like intentionality. What does this feel like? And am I okay with it, basically?
And I know that, you know, with, especially when it comes to like what makes an album, and, you know, the lines are a bit blurred, you know, when is a single, but mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but my feeling was that you've had, over the last 2 years, you've had several songs that you called your single or your next single, but mm-hmm. then your official single ended up being Sunny Days. So that ended up being your single. I think at the time Fire was supposed to be your single. Then I think 2 years ago you recorded Fantasy and you were actually going to put it out as your first single. So mm-hmm. maybe to get back to this idea of yeah. when is a single, what is that decision process like for you?
That process a lot of time too looks like seasons. So of course, right now we're in winter time. So I can't necessarily drop a song like Chris's song in the winter. It's got to hit more, and it feels like it would hit more in like a warmer month. Sunny Days would hit more in winter. I'm thinking about like seasons at the end of the day. Sunny Days just felt like it needed to come out at the time that it came out. Like if I would have put Fantasy out at the time that Sunny Days was coming out, it wouldn't have really made sense. Like I think a record like Fantasy feels more like it's more sad. It's more deep. So I feel like it wouldn't resonate as much. And maybe this is just me, again, being a perfectionist and probably like thinking too deep into it. But intentionality wise, I don't think a record like Fantasy would be able to resonate so much in the summer months as it would in the colder months. Same goes again with Sunny Days. There's just like a feeling behind it. How can you like feel it deeper? How can you get into it deeper? So seasons comes into play. And it really, I can't even really say, it just comes into like seasons and just what feels right. Like initially I wanted to put Fantasy out first, and then I had to listen to my intuition, and my intuition's like, no, it's not time to put this out yet. I think you should do this. So it's really just those two things, honestly. And also what's done being mixed and mastered.
And these were all album cuts, and you announced your album last year, I think. I couldn't find it. Was there a reason why it never came out and you decided to put out singles on a regular basis?
Really, the idea to put out singles is because, in my opinion, this is going to go, people may or may not agree with this. It might sound terrible, but I think just based off of like my research that I do outside of creating, albums are like dead. Like there's no one's putting albums out anymore. And I feel like people don't necessarily have in this day and age the attention span. Starting out, I definitely had the idea to like just put out an entire album, and then just getting with the team, we realized it's kind of probably not necessarily a bad idea, but there would be, I guess, more success or longevity in just putting out singles, because I'm going to be able to be in people's faces more on the platform, whether it be Instagram or TikTok or Twitter or X, what they call it, is like I can just push. And when you put out an album, like a full body of work, again, you're just throwing too much at someone like all at once. You're not really allowing them to focus on each song for what it is. You're giving each song the chance to be able to like be felt, to be heard, to be digested, versus I'm just throwing this whole shit at you. Yeah, if I was like a big artist and I've already made like a crap ton of money, I already have like all the accolades and everybody knows my name when I walk in the room, then yeah, I think at that point it kind of makes more sense, because you've already done everything. You've already got your rungs and your reps in. But I think more of the success really just comes from singles, because I'm able to totally be in your face.
Yeah, totally get it. Mm-hmm. You mentioning, you know, this being a big artist and everyone knowing your name and stuff, when you daydream about, you know, where your career is hopefully going to go in the future, what do you daydream about? Like, what do you see?
I daydream about being as big, if not at the same level of what Taylor Swift and what Beyonce are at. Like, I don't just see myself as the singer. I really see myself as a performer, a singer, a musician, because behind the scenes, I'm still trying to get my reps in, focus on choreography. Like, I envision myself doing stadiums. The playing field is not down here. I'm not trying to be in this for the short term. I'm literally trying to be in this for the long term. I want to try to be as big as Taylor Swift, as big as Beyonce, but I'm not trying to be down here. So when I daydream, it really is like at that level of artistry, that's how I see it, because that's exactly where I started when I first started getting into music, is Beyonce and Destiny's Child. Like, that's where the inspiration came from. So I'm still trying to be up at that level.
Maybe this question that I'm going to ask is a bit redundant, because if we knew the answer to this question, it would, you know, everyone could maybe get there. But
yeah.
What if you could still elaborate a little bit on what do you think people or artists need to get to that stage? Like, why is it taking some artists not that long, and discipline
is really what it comes down to. You need discipline and you need self-belief at the end of the day. A lot of artists, there are artists out there and out here that know what they have. They know the talent that they possess, but they don't have the discipline. They don't have the motivation. They don't have the community. But even then, if you don't fully have the community, you have to find it within yourself first. And you have to, at the end of the day, outside of discipline and outside of belief, you have to want it. And if you don't want it, and if you don't believe in yourself, and if you're not willing to be, again, vulnerable, and you're just going to keep all of your records on the shelf, no one's ever going to hear it. And I think that's why few artists aren't at the level of artistry that they want to be at or envision where they need to be at, because they're not willing to show up and put in the work on a daily basis. And if you're not willing to do that, like, what you want isn't going to be possible to achieve because you're not willing to show up and put in the work.
Some artists actually get the chance to get supports, you know, to find a big machine that will help them. And with machine, I mean a record label that will help them, you know, get to the next step. And I know that you've actually had the opportunity a few times, I think, to sign a deal. And I'm really curious to hear where you think you'd be at right now if you had signed the deal, and what made you decide to go against it.
I know if I had signed a deal each time that it was given to me as an opportunity, I probably wouldn't even, if I would be on this call with you right now, but I would be like completely dazed. I'd have no motivation. I wouldn't have discipline. I would just be doing this because I had to do it, because someone else was telling me to, not because I wanted to. I wouldn't have a spark for music anymore. I wouldn't be passionate about music anymore. And I think that would be because someone else is controlling the car. Say right now I'm an artist and I do R&B, neo soul, and I get signed by a label, and the label could be like, yeah, this is cute, this is great, but I want you to do pop. And I've got to put all of that out the window, and I have to dive into something that, if I were a different artist and I wasn't like, this is going to sound terrible, if I wasn't like a one trick pony type of artist, it would, like, I wouldn't be doing it because I wanted to do it anymore, or the music just, it wouldn't be authentic. It wouldn't be real. And that would, you would really be able to hear that in my records. If I was signed, the initial deal that I got, I had to do in the contract. It was like, you have to put out, I think, 6 albums in the span of 3 years. You're responsible for your plane tickets. You're responsible for paying for studio time. You're responsible for booking your own shows. Like, you're responsible for everything. So then if you look at it from that, there's no artistry anymore. Like, you're stripping the artist of their creativity. And I would just be depleted. I know that for a fact.
Oh, it's really odd. I mean, I thought that the idea of having a label behind you is that they would support with things like that and not have the artist do everything. But on the other hand, I was thinking, you know, when you were mentioning, you know, someone is driving the car and you don't really have control. Do you think that that's a common feeling that a lot of artists that sign these deals have? Or is it not, you know, the trade-off that you will get big marketing and you will get a lot of money and all that stuff? And that some people might think like, okay, well, the labels tell me what to do, but I'm getting to great heights and I'm getting to build a massive career and people around the world know my name. And yeah, the trade-off is that I might have to do pop when I don't want to do pop. Like, is that necessarily something bad?
I don't think it's necessarily something bad, because it comes down to like the person who is signing said deal with said label. It also comes down to their knowledge of like terms. I'm the artist that I am now. I wouldn't say I'm necessarily completely against signing to a label, but what do the terms look like? And up until this point, like, the terms have not looked that great, like, at all. I think there are definitely artists out there who, some artists look at the advance that's being thrown at them as like, woo, like, I'm rich now. Like, I got it. Mm-hmm. I've totally made it. But they don't understand like the sacrifice that comes with that. Again, it comes down to just knowledge. If you don't know about terms and you don't know what terms to look out for, if you unfortunately, and I'm fortunate enough and privileged enough to be able to have like a team of people and a manager who's like behind my back at all times and knows what to look out for and knows what questions to ask, where I may lack. But it also, I think, depends on the circumstance too. There are artists out here who live in environments that aren't so great. And sometimes signing that shitty deal is the only way that they can get out of that. And unfortunately, they might be locked in that deal for 6 years, 3 years, 10 years. You never know. I think the circumstance just looks completely different. And it really just depends. Mm. I don't think it's terrible to be signed to a label, but you just have to know what questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you see it now with like different artists out there, maybe like a Forgive Me Doja, of like that, of being signed to a label and her talking about in like TikToks or like Instagram videos, like before, of like, my label wants me to do this and I don't have any control over anything. And you can literally see like her being stripped of her creativity and like the fun and the excitement is like, it's no longer there. Now you're like, you're just angry. But again, I think that really just comes down to circumstances and knowledge is really what it comes down to at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
If you get trapped in deals like that.
What's the second song interlude that you would want to place right here?
Fantasy.
I'm up late once again. It's 12 a.m. I'd pay for companionship. The one I want don't wanna give me all of him. Love is a game for fools to play. You didn't love me anyway. I wanna play another game. In my fantasy, you come home to me. Pull me close and hold me tight until we
You know, you're actually the great example that shows why artists don't necessarily need a label, because you're doing everything yourself. You know, you've done sold out shows in LA, you've done shows in Atlanta, you've recently before I ask that question, I'm something that I thought was amazing is that, you know, you're recounting that experience at Paid and Sit, was that
Pain and Sit, yeah.
Pain and Sit. You're recounting that experience of not having performed for 10 years and, you know, yeah. the anxiety of getting on that stage. You've talked about how scary that was for you. And I feel like you selling out that show in LA and you performing live, that wasn't that scary anymore. You know, you're getting into the habit of performing.
Yeah.
What's something that you've learned about performing live, especially in that with those two shows that you didn't have before that also took this anxiety away a little bit?
I think I really just learned to have fun doing live shows. When you learn to have fun and you learn like to go into it, it's going to sound selfish, but it's not selfish. To go into it and have fun for myself first, the audience completely picks up on that I'm having fun versus going into it of like, I got to make this show great for everyone else. If I have fun and I want to make it a great experience for me, everyone else will be able to eat and thrive off of that. And to really just let my guard down and just continue to be myself and to not care what people think and what the audience thinks, because these people wouldn't be here if they didn't want to see you. These people wouldn't be here if they didn't want to see me. They're obviously here for a reason. Like, I'm the show. I'm bringing something to you. Obviously, I bring value. And also understanding, like, again, I think I said it before, like, it's not going to be for everybody. And just letting that thought process go. And just giving it my all at the end of the day. Like, yeah. Leaving it all behind, like fears, like letting doubt, I wouldn't really say doubt, but just letting fear, doubt, or just constant questioning of like being afraid of like fucking up the show or like missing a note, just understanding like not every show, especially it's live, it's not going to be perfect. And instead of like allowing that to make me feel nervous and make me feel anxious, using it to my advantage. I.e. would be like, okay, if I'm hella nervous before a show, and I'm always hella nervous before a show, as soon as I get on stage, I just announce it. I'm just like, y'all, I'm really nervous right now. And as That's soon amazing. As I let that out, it's like, okay, everybody knows.
Yeah,
we're all
on
the same wavelength, because everybody else in the audience is probably nervous too, because there are probably some people that they've never seen me live. Maybe they've never been to a concert before and they don't know what to expect. So I feel like once you announce that, then you're able to resonate again with everybody in the audience. And then it's just kind of like, they give you that, like, everyone just has like an okay, like an understanding pretty much. Mm.
I mean, these are all part, you know, what you're mentioning, especially like also, you know, performing and overcoming some of the challenges and fears. Like, what are other challenges you think or that you've had personally as an independent artist that you would say that have been very difficult for you to overcome, or that you maybe have not overcome yet? Like, what would you say is the toughest part about building a career all by yourself without, I mean, you have a team obviously, but you know, without going the label route, I would say.
I'd say the toughest thing that can hold you back is like finances. If you don't have it all, like right now we have to finance with business credit. Like, I don't have a label like backing me up with like 100K, 200K advance. So you're having to figure out how can I make the money? And then when I make the money, still figuring out how to gain more of the resources that the label may have, the marketing, you're figuring like that out.
What's extremely expensive for you as an artist right now? Like, what do you spend the most money on that could potentially help you if someone invested into your career?
Ads. Marketing, yeah. Like just being able to run ads so that I'm able to be in people's faces on like different platforms. I feel like that's the main thing. I'm not in that too much. I'm in it enough to where I'm still like aware of everything that's going on, but really my manager and everyone else on my team handles that. But of course we still talk about it. But I think that's probably like I wouldn't say major, but it can be an issue. The marketing, because it's like, okay, once we have enough money to be able to like really put in towards ads, then I'm going to be in people's faces even more, because the talent isn't the issue. It's being able to be in people's faces just more and more and more. And once I have the marketing dollars to be able to do that, like that's it pretty much.
Yeah, I think that you broke that down so perfectly. You know, the talent is not an issue because you are, I mean, amazingly talented. And I was so amazed at seeing people from Australia and all over the world commenting on your posts and your songs being played in the Netherlands and stuff like that. So you're there yet, but I understand the point that, you know, you need more. Marketing is everything. But you did actually get a placement in a recent Amazon Prime TV show, Expats, with Nicole Kidman.
Yes.
And you have a song on that show. And I'm curious about the dynamics of that. How does that happen?
That really, they had reached out to my manager, Kosh, like via email, and was like, we'd love to have her a part of this project. But I feel like things like that happen too, just of like, being in the algorithm and just consistently posting and just maybe word of mouth too. Kind of, really that literally just happened. Like we didn't reach out to Amazon or Nicole Kidman personally be like, I heard you're doing a show. Like I want to be on the track. But it really just came into fruition. It just happened. And it's wild because I did two soundtracks for the show. And one of them that's really doing major right now is We're All Alone. And that has been, it came out on the 16th of February and it's now the 25th. And it's garnered like well over 18,000 plays, 18,000 Shazams. And I'm like, this is crazy. And we haven't really like promoted it that much. Like Amazon is starting to promote it now. The director's been starting to promote it. But like even before that, like once it dropped, it was gone. Like it was like charting in Kingston, Jamaica. Like they're playing it in Australia. And I'm like, what the actual, it's wild.
Yeah. And I love that you measure that also by the term, like people Shazammed it, you know, because it's one thing that you can see the numbers, like people play it on, I don't know, Apple Music or Spotify or whatever. But it's another thing when you know that people have actually, while they were watching the show, most likely Shazammed the track because they really needed to know who the artist was. So that's really cool. That's really cool.
Thank you.
What would you say is your next goal? Like your next career goal? Like what's the next thing that you want to achieve?
My next career goal that I want to achieve. Damn.
Or something that you're working on right now, maybe that, you know, I mean, you mentioned a new song that's coming out, but like, what's the next thing you want to see?
What the heck? That's a great question. I feel like these are things that I think about 24/7. And of course, when you get asked them, you're like, oh.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I know that, yeah, it's difficult sometimes to answer these questions.
On like a music level, shoot, being able to do more shows, get in front of more people, put this next track out. Because I am, even though I'm like a little nervous for it to come out, I'm very excited for it to come out. So I can't wait for that to be mixed and mastered. But just do more shows, be in front of more eyes, and have more opportunities. Yeah. Just working with other artists and getting my name out there more.
I'm curious to hear who you think are unsigned emerging artists that deserve more attention.
Unsigned? I don't think she's signed. One would be Mackenzie Thomas. On Instagram, she's an incredible singer, an incredible artist. Like her riffs, her runs, amazing. So please go check her out. A male artist who's unsigned. Yeah, I'm gonna give it to you. I gotta give you two, but
sure.
Juice Lord and La Russell. I'll give you those two. All three of these, they completely speak for themselves. That's literally like all y'all need to know. Don't waste your time. Go search them. Juice Lord. Mackenzie Thomas and La Russell.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm getting to my final question, actually, which I like to ask artists, which is when you reflect about, you know, the whole journey that you've been on and everything that you've gone through, the ups and downs of building your career in music, what's this all for? Like, what do you do this all for?
Damn, that's a really good question. No one's ever asked. That's a really good question. I do it for self. I do it because it feels good. I do it because I want to do it. And of course, at the end of the day, I really want to prove and know to myself that I'm more than capable of being able to achieve my dreams, achieve my goals. And that if I didn't want to, then the only limit would be self. And of course, I really want to be able to build generational wealth for my family at the end of the day and just stay aligned with my purpose and fulfill my purpose while I'm still here on earth. Because that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. We all have a purpose. And I think life is about one, experiences, and two, fulfilling your purpose, understanding your purpose, believing in your purpose, and then seeing it out and seeing it through. And I want to be able to continue doing that and proving to myself that it can and it will be done.
Kennedy, thank you so much for this amazing conversation. I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you.
We'll take us out to sea.
This was Unsigned Hype episode 20 with Kennedy Ryan. The track you're hearing right now is called We Are All Alone. You will not only find the song in the Unsigned Hype podcast playlist, but also in the official soundtrack of the new Amazon Prime show Expats, currently streaming on Amazon. Make sure to support Kennedy Ryan by checking out her music and following her on social media. And for your weekly Unsigned Hype, make sure to also follow us on Spotify and Instagram. All the links are in the show notes below.
Stories told.